Welcome. Thank you so much for listening. This is Mortgage Mom Radio, and I am so happy to be here on Saturday morning, taking all of your calls, answering your questions live. You know, you can always text me, text the word mom to 474747. We'll get those questions answered. My entire team is at my office right now, and they are waiting for your phone calls. So you have got as much time as you want to call, ask questions, and not feel like you are on air. You know, you don't have that feeling of embarrassment because you want to ask a question. So get those questions out now.
It is an early Saturday morning. So is everyone caffeinated up and ready for all these phone calls?
I am caffeinated up. I've even got a monster on board. It's the only way to get here and do this early in the morning. It's something fantastic.
Now, you had an interesting week. Like, it was family week at the Mortgage Mom household, right?
It sure was. Yeah. Well, it's always family week at the Mortgage Mom household. Lots of stuff going on, you know, from my almost 3-year-old. We've had some, you know, psych evaluations going on and, you know, things that we're trying to get him kind of figure out what's going on with him. He's not talking yet. And it's something that I know is actually starting to become a lot more common, especially in boys. For some reason, we're starting to see this. But we're going through all of the testing right now to try to diagnose and see if we've got, you know, maybe autism or some sort of spectrum of that. So that's kind of been a big
oh,
role,
wow,
a big
that's
piece.
Heavy.
Yeah. On top of that, we've introduced JMJ as our new sponsor, and we've, you know, moved companies, which was a fantastic move. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too.
A lot of heavy stuff at once.
Heavy.
How does the mom balance it all?
You know what? You just do it. You wake up in the morning and you put one foot in front of the other and you just keep going. You know, it's just everything. Everything in life, just you can't stop. You know, you just take it as it is and you move forward and you can't look too far in advance. Well, maybe with your investments. And that's actually really funny because I had a huge conversation with my sister. I think we need to get her on the air soon. But, you know, we were arguing, and I love my sister. I actually have two sisters and a brother, and we're all very, very vocal.
Are you guys close? What's the age gap?
So my oldest sister is 4 years older than me, and my little sister's 3 years younger than me, and my brother is actually 2 years younger than my youngest sister, so we're 5 years spread. So, you know, there's a little bit of a spread, but when you start getting older, you know, I mean, I'm in my 40s, and my older sister obviously is approaching later 40s, and then, you know, my little sister's in her later 30s. At that age, it's not that big gap that you have when you're kids, you know.
So you guys are super close then.
We are. We're actually very, very close. It's quite nice because we've had, you know, mom got sick. My dad is having heart problems, you know, so we've really come together as a unit, as a team. And I can't be more thankful in life that we have the relationship that we do. And that is one thing that, you know, really my mom just knocked it out of the park. And so did my dad in making sure that we were all close and we were tight. You know, we don't have those issues that I do see a lot, you know, where people don't talk to their siblings or they've got a problem with family. So I'm very, very fortunate and blessed to have that in life. But, you know, we obviously argue, and, you know, my personality, I'm big. I'm a lot bigger than life, just by nature. But my whole family is that way. So, you know, when we get into arguments, it can get quite heated. But nothing that is, you know, we're not mad at each other. It's just, you know, we're very opinionated, I think is the word.
Okay. You have a loud family.
I have a very loud family. Yeah. And it's quite fun. I can't even imagine. It's quite entertaining. We'll have to get you in here with the camera crew at some point and watch us all interact because, you know, it's almost like a big giant Italian family. You know, it's...
Well, I like the text message you shared with me. We can't talk about it on the radio, but we did tweet it out at Mortgage Mom Radio if you want to read it. It's don't let the kiddies read it, but it's sisterly love, right?
Oh, it's sisterly love.
She's giving
love,
you
for
advice
sure.
on what to do on the show.
Yes, and I wouldn't call it X-rated, but there's definitely profanities.
Yeah, man. We can't blur things on the radio, but
No, it'd be, if I had her on right now, it'd be beep, 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 beep. but you know, going into what I was trying to say, though, is we got into a pretty heated argument this week, and it was all about her and her finances. You know, what she is choosing to do with, you know, not buying a home, selling, you know, going on the road.
So what's her deal? So she sold her home like years and years ago.
Right. Absolutely.
She's got kids of her own.
Yes, she does. And, you know, she has done very, very well for herself. She's very successful businesswoman. She's into big data marketing. You know, I mean, she is very, very good at what she does, and she is not hurting financially. So when I say, you know, it's a financial decision we got in an argument about. It's not anything that she has done that has been bad. But me personally, we got in an argument because she chose to sell her home about 10 years ago. And she's been renting for 10 years.
How was the market 10 years ago for selling?
Well,
compared to now.
It was 10 years ago. Let's see. We're 2019. It was 2009. We were probably at the bottom of the market. You know, everybody had lost a lot of equity. She had just come back up enough to get out of the house and not have to pay some money to close. And she just wanted to get rid of it. You know, everybody was in some major turmoil between 2007 and 2010. So she was just trying to get out of, you know, make sure that she was breaking even and be able to walk away clean. And, you know, that's okay. But she chose not to buy again. And I keep, you know, slapping her hand and saying, what are you doing? She lives in Newport Beach. If she had bought a home in 2009 in Newport Beach, the amount of equity that she would have had when she's ready to sell, her daughter is 15 years old. So she's got 3 more years of school and then she's on to college. And her goal is when her daughter goes to college, she's buying an RV and she's traveling. And that is going to be her retirement. And
what do you think about that?
You know, I'm all about
it. I'm sure you have strong opinions on
it. I do. I'm all about it. I would love to buy an RV and travel for my retirement. I think it's a fantastic plan. But what I don't like is that in 2009, if she had bought a home and she hadn't been throwing all of her money away to, you know, a landlord, she would have had so much more. Every single payment that she made would have been a savings plan. It would have been paying down a balance on a mortgage that she would have taken. She would have had to write off from the mortgage interest and the property taxes. She would have been building equity with the market as the property values increased. And when she went to retirement, she could have sold the home and used the proceeds and paid cash for that RV and traveled. And her big argument to me is, well, I put my money in stocks. I've done very, very well. That's where I think I should be. And I keep trying to argue with her. You need to have multiple pieces of retirement vehicles. You need to have the stock market. You need to have your 401k. You need to have annuities. You need to have a home. You know, if you want to burn the home down, burn it down to the ground, get in an RV and roll. Hey, that's fantastic. Do that at retirement age. But you just threw away so much more. You could have kept your money in the stock market and been building that equity in that property and putting into a savings plan instead of just throwing your money at a landlord. So, you know, it was a pretty heated conversation. I think it'd be really funny actually to get her on.
We'll do it again. We'll get her on.
Yeah.
But coming up today on Mortgage Mom Radio, we're going to tell you why Zillow is a complete mistake.
Yeah. Well, it's not a complete mistake. And we'll talk about it more, but it's a good range. You know, it gives you a good idea, but definitely not something to lean on.
And we have tickets to give away for the next webinar.
We do. We're going to do a webinar, and it's going to be, you know, all about, you know, buying a home and how to buy a home. And
February 2nd, it'll be online.
It will be online February 2nd on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We'll probably be on YouTube as well, but we'll figure it out. But it's going to be Morgan Wallen concert tickets for March the 23rd. So that's going to be good.
Yeah, it's this song. You know this song, right? We're just holding it down here in BFE. Still rolling around with a burst CD. Freebird 5 minutes deep here, bobbing up, down. I love that guy. And he's with Florida Georgia Line there. But you can see Morgan Wallen at the El Rey Theater March 23rd. All you've got to do is text the word MOM to 474747. We'll give you all the details after you do that.
Yeah, and join the webinar. You know, in the past, last year, this is a whole new MOM. It's a whole new show. We're doing it a little bit different this year. We were doing the, homebuyer workshops, renovation workshops, all kinds of different things for you to come out and learn. And we were doing them at a location. You had to take time out of your day, out of a Sunday for 3 hours. And it was really, really nice to actually get FaceTime with people and to do it that way. But, you know, what we found is that we can get it done the same way with the same great information, and you don't even need to leave your home. You could be at the grocery store and have us up live on your Facebook or your YouTube feed, listening and watching and interacting and asking questions and calling in. So we're going to actually do that this year. We're getting a little bit more techie.
Let's try that out, see how it goes.
Yeah,
you know?
We're getting a little more techie.
Yeah.
But we're going to definitely, we've always historically given away tickets, and Go Country's been fantastic about that and giving those to us. So we are going to definitely be raffling off those Morgan Wallen tickets, and you'll have to actually join us to
text the word mom to 474747. That's how you get all the details. Now, coming up next is the tax grandma. We're going to finally come through with these tax questions you've been texting us all week.
Text the word mom to 474747 and ask me those questions right now. If you have questions on your mind that you wanted to ask, get those to us because we're going to actually have the tax grandma on and I will ask her your questions. So get those to me. Text the word mom to 474747 and listen in to hear the answer to your question.
Now, the mortgage mom, not only is she here to answer your mortgage and home lending questions, she also has advice. And today's advice is all about Zillow and how much it's not good, right?
No, it's not that it's not good. It's just not something that you could count on. You don't want to put your money on it, right? If you're thinking maybe I'm going to refinance my home and there's so much available cash that I could get out, or you want to sell your home and you think you're going to get, you know, a certain dollar amount for your house, it's not necessarily that accurate. It's going to give you a range. It's pulling information from recently closed sales, and it's giving you an average range around your home. Now, there are so many pockets in Southern California that it may be wrong. I mean, you could cross a street and be in a totally different city, and you could have completely different home prices. And it's less than a quarter of a block or a 0.1 mile away, and it could be just totally different. But Zillow is going to pull those numbers in and average it out. So if you're on the more expensive side of the street, it might be showing you that your home is worth less than what it truly is. And if you're on the less expensive side of the street, you could be thinking that your home is worth more. So it's all an algorithm. It's all a computer. It's doing the best that it can to give you, information about your home and, give you an idea of what the property, might be worth. But it's definitely not something that you should lean on or believe. The very best thing that you can do in those circumstances is really call a real estate agent. If you're considering doing anything with your home, selling it, renting it, you want to know what it's worth.
You need to call mom for that.
Yes, right.
474747. You can text mom your questions right now. Just text the word mom to get in the mom club.
That's right. Yeah, no, and you'll get announcements just like the Morgan Wallen tickets. You're going to see that coming up. We're going to be sending out a text
message.
Now,
that's going to be our first webinar together, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do it on probably Facebook Live and YouTube Live and everything. We're still trying to work out the technology, but it'll be at mortgagemomradio.com. And if you are a member of our text club, you get all the links and all the info there. So you've probably already gotten it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not in the mom club, then just text the word mom to 474747 right now. That's also how you can ask us questions. So as you hear me talking about Zillow and my sister and buying an RV and not, buying a home, or you just have, you've listened to the tax grandma, she's got, you've got questions for her. That is the very best way to get a hold of us, because we are going to get every single one of your questions and we're going to answer them for you. So don't forget, just text the word mom to 474747. It's free advice. Why would you not do it? Hey, you want to ask me a question about Ethica underwear or your kids getting in trouble? I saw a really good one the other day on Facebook. It was somebody that I'm friends with, and he wrote on there, he said, my kid's straight A student, and but I can't for the life of me get him to make his bed correctly. Would it be horribly wrong if I were to get the screwdriver out and literally just take the entire bed apart and make him put it back together?
Gosh, well, he's making his bed in general. I mean, that's a win. He's not doing it perfectly.
Right, right. And I commented on the post and I said, well, number one, he's making his bed, which means that his room's probably clean. He's a straight A student. Let's give him some props here, right? My kids, I walk in there and most of the time they're pretty good about it. I've actually got one that's really good about it. Moober's really good about it. Mikey, not so great. But I will walk in there, and when it is a disaster, let alone get the bed made, I mean, the rest of the room is a disaster, I will literally put everything in trash bags and I will put them out in the garage, and then he has to buy his items back. he literally has to do chores and make money to buy back what he needs. So he'll have no pillow, he'll have no blanket. Now, obviously I'm not going to let him freeze at night. But, you know, he has to start earning those things back, because we all have to work hard for something. I work very, very hard for my house to look a certain way. And, you know, I have pride in my home, and he has to understand what that's worth. And I'm trying to build ethics down the road for him to learn that when he has a house someday, he's got to show pride in that. So this is your bedroom. Buy it back. If you pay for it, maybe you'll take care of it.
Gosh, that's harsh, but accurate.
Sure.
It works.
But you know, if he was making his bed and it was pretty much clean, even if it wasn't a very good bed making ability, I'd leave him alone. I would.
I mean, there's some mom slack to be involved there.
Sure.
For sure.
A little bit, yeah.
All right. So if you missed last week's show, it's available right now up on the podcast at mortgagemomradio.com. We talked about tax. We talked about debt. We debuted the tax grandma.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's going to be coming up again here just in a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking to her again. We got a lot of questions from listeners after she was on last week. So I've written down those questions and I'm going to ask her those. If you have questions out there and you're listening, you want to get your questions in, we're going to have her on every week. So text the word mom to 474747. Best way to contact us for everything. You can be part of the mom club. You can ask us questions. It'll take you to the links to win tickets. It's going to give you everything that you need to know. It's literally mom to 474747. So send those questions over and we'll make sure that she keeps answering them for you.
We've got a big show today on Mortgage Mom Radio, but first it's time for compliance.
All right, here we go. So I am Debbie Marcoux and I am licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. And my NMLS ID number is 237926.
Legalese over.
Legal is done.
Here we are again on Mortgage Mom Radio, and it's time for the tax grandma.
That's right. Denise Taylor, registered agent with the IRS. She is our tax grandma, and she is now a new weekly part of our show. She's going to be giving us all kinds of great things. Hey, good morning, Denise. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well, and yourself?
Do you like how I'm starting to advertise you as the tax grandma?
I love it. Are you kidding? That is my main objective in life. Nothing makes me happier. The only things that are super important to me are being mom, grandma, and then, of course, all my animal rescued animals that I work with, all the farm rescues. So they mean a lot.
I told everybody on the show today that you're going to be on weekly now. So you are now our tax grandma on every week.
Oh, thank you for that. That's awesome. I love it. And I love the title. Yeah. There isn't a title anybody can come up with that's more dear to my heart than being grandma. That's my most important objective in life.
I love it. I love it. So, last week when we talked, we were talking about the home equity line of credit. I know you were going to get me an answer. You texted me and you said, you know what, it's actually really pretty complicated. Do you feel like it's something that you can actually explain? Because I know there's no way, if something's complicated, text messaging's not going to happen. Do you feel like it's something that you can actually explain that people can understand? Or is it something that they should probably call me and I'd get them in touch with you?
We can explain it to a point, but the really fascinating thing is there's no definitive answer at this point. And with the shutdown, we can't get a ruling because the IRS is not working, that you can still send payments and you can mail taxes and such in, but there's no communication going on, whether it's through the consumer line, which is the regular line, or through my practitioner line. It's just, there's a message that they can't take your calls at this time with the shutdown. So until that's resolved, we can't get a final ruling. It's just up in the air. But bottom line, I did a ton of research on it, and all of the major people that are involved are saying the same thing. There's just absolutely no answer at this point. There's no grandfathering in, that we clarified. So if you had a home equity line that you took out in 2015 for $100,000, and at this point, the way the rules are written, you can't take the mortgage interest on it. If you used it to improve or to purchase your home, like it was a piggyback, or if it was used for home improvement, then the rules are saying, yes, you can take the mortgage interest, but there doesn't seem to be a worksheet that's going to determine how the government is going to accept how much of that home equity line was used for what. Way back when. Now it's going to be more probably clarified in the transaction, but in those days it wasn't. So none of us have an answer to that yet. Yeah. I even emailed the legal department and asked them if they're going to produce a worksheet that kind of splits out. Yes, I use 50% for home mortgage, I mean, for home improvement. I use 50% for college and credit cards, you know, combination of that. So there's going to have to be something. There's a worksheet right now. When you have a refund from your previous year's state return, there's a worksheet that you only pay tax on the amount that benefited you. So that's probably going to be a very, very similar worksheet. But it's not here yet. It doesn't seem to be.
But the most important piece, though, that you did learn is that it's not grandfathered. So if you had a home equity line of credit that you had taken prior to the change of the tax law and you were previously writing off the interest from that equity line, and the equity line was used for debt consolidation, college, things that are not home improvement, you will not be able to continue to write that mortgage interest off moving forward.
Absolutely. Anything that's been used for, the only thing that's still left for question at all on either the new home equities or on a past home equity line is how are they going to determine how much was used for home improvement or purchase? Because that's the only ones that any possibility will be allowed to be deductible. You will not be allowed to deduct either past or future for debt consolidation or any of that.
Denise Taylor, everybody, our tax grandma. We're talking to her right now. And if you've got questions, you know you can call. It's 844-935-3634. As we're talking, obviously, you know, I'm not scripted. I wish that I was, and I wish I knew where I wanted to go with every show, but it's just kind of what comes to mind is what I talk about. So everybody listening, you guys, I've said it earlier. I said it in the show. If you guys want to ask questions to the tax grandma, all you have to do is text me. Text the word mom to 474747. Get those questions over, and we're going to have her on again next week to answer those questions. So keep them coming. Make sure that you know, keep putting those in there. So, and I do have way more difficult questions for you, and we'll touch on them next week because I want to know, and don't answer it right now, but I want to know if I have a mortgage that is $900,000 and I'm only allowed to write off up to $750,000, how in the world do you determine how much of the mortgage interest that comes on, you know, the form that I get from my mortgage company at the end of the year, how do you know how much of that I get to write off? So I want you to answer that question next week. But I have some questions that I took in from some listeners that I want to ask you so that you can answer those questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So this one comes from Veronica from Cerritos. She says, I work in sales and I drive a ton of miles for my job. Can I still write off my miles?
If you're a W-2 employee, she's asking because now they've removed the above-the-line deduction. So the old 2106, which was employee unreimbursed expenses, if you're a W-2 employee, has been eliminated. And that is going to be a real hurt on a lot of people. So the only way she probably will be able to get her mileage will be to turn it into her employer and have her employer reimburse her. She will no longer be able to use a 2106 on her tax return and take it as a deduction on itemized deductions.
What a bummer. Do you have any suggestions for people that are in that situation? You know, there's so many of us. I mean, even me in sales, you know, I mean, I have a lot of expenses, a lot of marketing, a lot of advertising that I do, you know, just things that are an expense to do the job that I do. And, you know, what do you suggest to those people?
It's a tough answer. And I started calling my clients way early and I said, if you have any ability to send any of your expenses into your employers to be reimbursed from the people you work for because of their, as a company, they get to still write it off. So I told all my people that were in that industry to please turn in all their expenses because everything's still up in the air, but all the above-the-line deductions have been removed. Even deductions that a lot of people are not thinking about, that you asked me to think about some things that people may not be aware of. You'd asked me to think about things. Alimony is no longer deductible.
So that's a big one.
That's a big one, and a lot of people didn't know that. Quite honestly, until I started doing the research for the update, I didn't know about it because that's what we do, you know, starting in about October, November, we start looking at what the proposed updates are, and some of them go through and some don't. So you kind of don't fog your brain down with what's proposed, but what actually has been defined is true. And one of them was alimony. So no longer can clients write off the alimony that they're paying off to their spouse.
That is crazy. Does the spouse have to still file that they receive the alimony and pay taxes on
it? No, if it's not deductible to the payer, then it's not going to be taxable to the receiver.
Oh my goodness, that's going to be.
As far as I know,
that is absolutely going to throw a wrench in some mortgage things, because for alimony we have to see it documented on tax returns for at least, you know, for the most recent year, and that's how we determine how much income that we can give to someone who is actually receiving the alimony. So that is going to be. I'm going to have to look up the new underwriting guidelines on that and get back to everybody next week, because that's going to be throw a big, huge wrench into a lot of our underwriting guidelines. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, because like I say, I've been kind of going through since you asked me to kind of look up some stuff, and it's, right now is kind of a whole learning process. With the government shut down, we're not able to get any kind of defined rulings. So as soon as we can get those, then we'll have some more absolute answers. But we're all just kind of playing it as it goes right now. Tax season is scheduled to still open on the 31st, even though all this stuff hasn't been handled yet. So we'll just see where it all comes out. But alimony has definitely been removed. So wow. That's going to be a big point for a lot of, because I have a lot of clients that are high-end people that pay exes, like doctors and people like that,
sure,
that pay their
absolutely.
Exes a lot. And that's going to be a real
that's going to hurt. That is going to hurt pretty bad. So, you know, I'm going to ask you one last question, and everybody again listening, Tax Grandma Denise Taylor, registered agent with the IRS. She is going to be on our show weekly giving you guys new updates. So like the alimony thing, thank you. That was amazing. That's the kind of stuff that we want to hear from you. Things that we don't think to ask, things that we don't know to ask, and things that can actually impact us all. So that was a big one, Denise. Thank you. You knocked it out of the park on that one. So last question that we got from a listener, and again, all of you guys out there, if you've got questions for the Tax Grandma, make sure that you're texting me. Text the word MOM to 474747. Get those questions over to me so that she can answer them for you next week on air. So this one is from Jason from Santa Ana. And he says, I have four kids, and in the past, I was able to take a tax deduction per child. Will I still get the benefit of having a large family?
Yes and no. The first part is no, there's no more. This is another big hit that a lot of people didn't realize. We heard so much information about the national standard being doubled. Okay. It was all over the place, but there wasn't such a play up on the fact that they were removing your exemptions. Not only will he not get an exemption for his children, he doesn't get an exemption for him or his wife either. There are no more exemptions. Boom, gone.
Okay, wait. Give me an example really quick. So last year when we filed 2017 tax returns, if you had a family of four, what would your deduction have been? How much was it per person? Was it $7,500?
I think it was like $4,050. I'm not positive on that. I'd have to look that one up. I'm more focused on the new numbers.
Sure.
But it was around $4,050, somewhere in that area, per person that you got a deduction for. And that was kind of fluctuates depending on the income. There was a limitation on the income that reduced that. So like some of my real high-end people that make a lot of money, they didn't get an exemption for themselves or their family because their income limited. So there was that. But on the average regular type people, they would get a deduction for themselves, their wife, their children, their mother that they took care of if they qualified. You always had people that you were able to, you know, if they qualified as your deduction, then you were able to take them. No longer, all gone. If you got five kids and you and your wife, no more deduction for any of that. The offset that the government said they did, and they played up on this, is that now you'll get $2,000 per child that's 16 and under that qualifies as your dependent.
16 and under? What? Because I'm telling you, I've got Moober in the room in there sleeping right now, and I'm paying for everything for him, and he's still in high school. I mean, it's my job for medical expenses, feed him, put gas in his car for his Moober business. What in the world are they coming up with this 16 years old thing?
Well, because there's always been what they call the child tax credit. It used to be $1,000, and you probably didn't know this if your children aren't under 16, but 16 and under, you were even last year and prior years, you were about $1,000. It moved up, but last year it was at $1,000 that you got is what they call a child tax credit. Well, that child tax credit was increased from $1,000 to $2,000. But as you're saying, they have to be, they still have to be 16 and under to qualify for that. So they didn't change that rule. They just increased it from $1,000 to $2,000. But like you, most of us have children that are over 16.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so basically, the benefit of having the large family, truly, when it comes down to the end of the day for Jason from Santa Ana, he's not going to probably end up getting the same kind of deductions unless he's a homeowner that does have the mortgage interest to write off, the property taxes to write off. If he can get into the itemized deductions, he'll be okay. But if he's truly just leaning on the per-person standardized deductions, he actually kind of lost a little bit.
Unless his children are under 16, then he'll get $2,000 per child as opposed to the $1,000 per child. But nothing for him and his wife. It's just a child tax credit.
So he
There's
lost.
Still no exemption for him or his wife.
Yeah.
The one that's going to be a real killer is the combination of both your questions. What if you have someone that has three children and is an outside sale? Now they're getting hit from not being able to take their business expenses on a 2106, and they're not being able to take the exemption, and their children are over 16, they're not going to get the extra child tax credit.
Wow.
It's going to be devastating to people that do outside sales with large families that their children aren't very young.
All right, guys, everybody listening, that's the tax grandma. She's absolutely amazing, and she can answer any tax question that you possibly have. So make sure you guys are sending me your questions. Text the word mom to 474747. Hey, Grandma Denise, you've been amazing. Thank you again so much, and we'll have you on next week again, too.
Thank you so much.
Is your house just a little bit too small? Do you wish that you had that extra bedroom or that extra bathroom? Hey, what about your kitchen? Maybe everything's perfect, but it needs some updating. If you've got a home like mine that was built in the 1980s, it's time to do some rehab. Think about it. What is your home worth today as a two-bedroom versus what would it be worth as a three-bedroom? Or what if you put in a pool or a guest home? You know, those things are going to bring up the property value, yet you're working with the values today, whether you buy it at today's price or whether you own the home already. This is going to be instant equity. You're going to get the cash in your hand to do the improvements that you need, and you're going to have a bunch of equity that's going to help you in the future towards retirement, future investments, and everything in between. Hey, mom's not going to steer you wrong. Call me. Let me talk to you about it. Let me go through what your options are and what we can do to maybe get those upgrades done. You can call me direct right at my office at 844-935-3634. I'd be happy to speak with you one-on-one. Give me a call.
So it's an exciting show this morning on Mortgage Mom Radio. We have the Desert Flippers coming on, right?
For all of you out there that love to watch HGTV shows, DIY shows, and all of those, you know.
I do. Those are my favorites. I can binge those while I'm doing laundry.
You can binge them all day long. I mean, these guys are on, you know, 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 9 a.m., 9:30, all day long. You know, HGTV's Desert Flippers. If you guys haven't seen it, you really do need to tune in and watch it. You know, obviously, they've got season one and season two that are playing, but they're in season three right now. So it's today, folks. It's what's going on today, and it's what's, you know, in the market today. What can you do?
And they're in Palm Springs.
They
that's
are.
Where they do the show. And that's sort of Southern California still, right?
It absolutely is.
I think they can sort of hear us there.
Hey, I know that in the wintertime, like right now in LA where it's cold and I want to get away for a weekend, where do I go? I go to Palm Springs. You know, I want to go to the snow and I want to get colder. I'm going to go to Big Bear. But if I want to go and I want to get some warmth, I'm going to go to Palm Springs because it's only a 2.5 hour drive or so. I mean, it's not a horrible drive. I would definitely call them Southern California. They're just right around, you know, right in our backyard. As far as California is such a giant state, and you know, they're not very far away when you think 2.5 hours. It's, you know, absolutely.
So let's chat with the Desert Flippers.
So Eric Bennett and Lindsay Bennett.
We live in a community that has terrible service. We're standing outside.
You sound great.
They're standing outside. You guys have to be freezing.
I know, we're such babies. We have a blanket and a sweatshirt on.
Well, and I love it because you guys are from Wisconsin. So I'm originally from Illinois, and I'm telling you, I've lived here now for so long that I am the biggest baby when it comes to cold.
I know, we are too. And our babies look
Lindsay's the baby. I'm still in shorts and a t-shirt right now.
Yeah, no, I've got heaters underneath of my desk, like space heaters that I turn on as I'm working just to try to keep warm. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I can't drive without turning on the heater on my steering wheel.
I know, we love that feature. It's ridiculous that we are so spoiled that way, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah. So I love that you guys were willing to talk to me. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
We're excited.
Yeah. So so I just want to ask you guys questions, like literally just kind of mom down with you. Is that okay?
Yeah, we're down.
All right. Cool. Okay. So I know that you guys did transplant from Wisconsin. How long ago did you do that?
12 years
ago. Yeah, we're going on 13. We met 13 years ago and moved out here 6 months after knowing each other, got our real estate licenses, and just kind of started in the business out here. So we've been entrenched with it ever since.
That is great. And did you go straight from Wisconsin to the desert? Or you guys are in Palm Springs, right?
Yeah, Lindsay's extended family was crushing it back in 2006, and they recruited Lindsay to come out and kind of join the family business. And like Lindsay said, I had just met her. And so I just like stowed away and hitchhiked my way to tag along with her.
Hitchhike your way to California. I love it. That's great. And you mean your show is absolutely amazing. I love it. I think it is so fantastic. Things that I'm hearing, obviously I'm in the same world as you guys, and we're hearing all kinds of, people, starting to get concerned about the market. Where's the market going? Is it slowing down, or are property values going to start to drop? You guys are in the business of flipping. And so you need properties to, at least keep their course, keep their value. So what are you guys seeing in the market right now? What keeps you going?
Well, first of all, I think that what we have done kind of as a American society is we have rebuilt the foundation of the real estate market. And back in 2006 and 2007, it was built on stated income loans and people that didn't have jobs. And, it was a very...
If you had a FICO score, you got a loan.
Yeah, if you could fog a mirror, you got a loan.
Exactly.
Nowadays, it's built on cash transactions and 30-year fixed mortgages that had verified income. So I feel like the foundation is much stronger. I feel like when people are getting a little concerned because the number of transactions is down, and that's simply because people are becoming content with the home that they have, the really attractive interest rate that they were able to get when they bought it, their monthly payment. And I think the number of transactions is down because people don't want to trade up.
Exactly.
So we have a firm foundation in the marketplace. But I think the number of transactions is going to continue to stay low.
And a number of the properties that we do in our flipping business is entry level. And that's just a really great market for us out here. It's a safe market. There's just a plethora of buyers in that arena. So, what we do is we take homes that have been distressed and not cared for years. And we just try to make them, we take the character that they have and we see opportunity in them. And we really, for example, we're doing one right now that's a 2-bedroom. We're making it a 3-bedroom. It doesn't have any covered parking. We're adding a garage. We're adding a pool. So we're just adding those elements that, put it to, to appeal to the most people. And that just, keeps us in the ball game of having the most amount of buyers and, giving people who have not bought their first house yet a really great house to buy.
And there was a time, and it's fun for flippers. There was a time when the market was a little overheated and you could throw almost any house on the market and have multiple offers that first week. And when you're trying to flip houses, that's really tough, because if you have inventory, it's great. But if you're trying to buy into that market, it's very difficult because there's so much competition. So if the market was to back off of that a little bit, it'll not only create opportunities for flippers like me and Lindsay, but also for just the regular person who's out trying to buy a home. Because for a while, investors were bidding those people out of the market.
Absolutely. And I love every last thing that you said. I have literally talked about that episode after episode after episode. I have been in this business, since 1994, and I've seen the ups and downs of the economy, and I've talked about the stated income and how people have gotten very comfortable in the loans that they have. They like where they live. We're seeing less transactions because people don't want to sell. Why would you transfer, to a 6% interest rate or 5.5% interest rate when you've locked down a 3.75%? So I see a stabilization a bit in the market today. I don't see a massive, Armageddon coming by any sort. But a lot of the listeners, like I said, you're hearing that, you're seeing it, it's on the news, people are talking about it, that's what they're anticipating. And I'm just trying to get that across to everybody listening. And you guys hit every single point on the head. It was awesome.
Well, and I don't know what kind of social media person you are, but I'm the sort of person who reads headlines. It's like, oh, I read this article today, and then I want to back off that statement because I really didn't read the article. I just read the headline, and I feel like that's, you know, a problem that I have. And an article came out a couple of weeks ago, and it talked about the market being down, you know, 28% from last year. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's no way that that's true.
Yeah.
And it was a misleading headline. And what it was saying is the number of transactions is down. And I'm like, well, that makes perfect sense. But the headline is just drastically misleading.
Oh, absolutely. And they do that on purpose. And that's kind of why, you know, I asked you that question and I wanted to get your opinion on it, because, again, just like you said, I think that 90% of us, especially with social media, with, you know, things are popping up CNN right on your screen as you're on your computer at work and you're seeing headlines and you're not necessarily reading what they're saying. And, you know, you're right. It's we're down as far as inventory. We're down as far as transactions being completed. But I have not seen really any change in value. As a matter of fact, I still, as I'm doing refinances or purchases, I'm seeing my appraisals come in higher than what they've purchased the home for. So I'm seeing actually a really great outlook for 2019. I think it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, what the advice that I would give to people is, if you're trying to get into the market, obviously you go location first, but if an opportunity comes up, don't think that the market's going to correct 20% and you're going to be able to buy the same house for less. Like, if it meets the needs of you and your family, you should probably make a move on it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And we talk about the cost of waiting all of the time too. And I'm sure that you guys can agree with this. You know, if you buy something today, let's just say drastic happened and there was an Armageddon and price values, you know, dropped $100,000. You buy a home for $400,000 today and it's worth $300,000 next year. Let's just say hypothetical. What we're also going to see is that today's interest rates are right, you know, just under 5% today. Well, when that happens, interest rates are going to be around 6.5%, maybe even 7%. So that what you can afford or what you're going to pay monthly in cash flow in a monthly payment is going to be almost identical in that $300,000 price in a year from now as it was when you bought it at $400,000. And since real estate is really for that long haul, you've got to buy it, invest in it, live in it, keep it. You guys flip, which is amazing, and that's your business. But for the majority of the public that is out there that is listening to the show, you know, they're just trying to get into real estate. They're trying to buy that first home. And, you know, they're buying in it to, you know, create some roots, you know, and create a home. So, you know, I try to tell everybody, you know, real estate is for the long haul. It doesn't matter. As long as you can afford your monthly payment, you've got, you know, you've got your home, you've got your base.
Agreed. And, you know, we do a lot of our business, even though flipping is our main gig. I mean, we really flip on the side. We do a number of businesses. But what we've done is, you know, we started just like anyone else. Eric, when I met him, he owned a home and he had a roommate. I owned a condo and I had a roommate. And we moved out to California. Before we did that, we both finished our basements. I actually made an addition on mine and he remodeled his. And we rented his out. And that became our first real investment property that we had as a rental. And we sold mine and used that profit, you know, to start playing in the flipping game. So, you know, we really are versatile in real estate as well. But there's, you know, there's just one place to start. And the best place is to take the home that you're in and, you know, turn that into a rental and upgrade into something for your next. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start to have a portfolio of real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. I this is the best interview I think I've ever done, because you guys are hitting you guys are hitting the head on every topic that I have ever talked about.
Well, what's crazy is the moment Lindsay and I met, we started talking about real estate and we really haven't stopped since.
Yeah. And I love it. And look at where it's brought you guys. Now, you guys have your show on HGTV. Of course, it's Desert Flippers. Absolutely love it. Like I said earlier. But here's my question. This is what I want to know. I want to know like the down and dirty kind of a little bit. So, you know, people are watching the show. They see you guys doing your flipping of the homes. But, you know, are you selling real estate as well? Can people reach out to you and, you know, look to you to sell them a home? How does that really work? What does the business model look like?
Well, I mean, I like to look at any kind of streams of revenue that we can produce. But there is a cap there and it comes down to time. So could we sell real estate? Sure. Could we get into other areas of consulting and design and everything else? Yes, we could. But our focus right now is our primary business, which is the flipping of houses, doing the TV show. And then after that, could we continue to work and make more money? Probably, but we want to be a family. So it comes down to there's only so much daylight to work. So we're focused on what we can
do. And we've been doing this for almost 13 years together. And so, you know, what we find ourselves doing more than anything, and we started just doing with friends and family, but we reach out, a lot of people reach out through social media, and we have more of an education and consulting focus now. That's something that we have time to do, is to help people to, you know, we're lucky and blessed in that we found each other and we can use each other as a sounding board. And, you know, we have balancing strengths and weaknesses, but not everybody has that. Some people are doing it on their own. So we love, and we always wished to have a mentor. So, you know, we love to be able to kind of reach out, do speaking things to really get the word out there. And we're really just average people. And, you know, we just kind of put our noses down and said we were going to build an empire together. And we're lucky to have that. But we love to have this ability to kind of share what we've learned and what we know and some of our experience to help others to get started.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And I love that you guys said, you know, you're a family too. I did notice that you guys have three small kids. How old are they?
Yeah, the three-year-old just walked out here by us.
Uh-huh. Yep. My husband had to take the three-year-old for a walk right now just so that we could talk. So
yeah, exactly right.
I get it. So how old are your kids, all three of them?
We have three boys. They're 7, 5, and 3.
Got it. Okay, so I have three boys. They're 18, 14, and 3.
Oh my goodness.
18, 14, and 3.
Yes, I started all over again.
All right. Yeah.
That is something else. You are a busy woman, I'm sure.
Absolutely busy. And that's why, you know, I mean, this is Mortgage Mom Radio. So we do a lot, obviously, about mortgage and real estate. I sold real estate early in my career, and then I moved into mortgage. My mom is in was in real estate and in mortgage. My dad, same thing. So, you know, kind of a family business, exactly like, you know, you guys. And this is what I've grown up doing. So it is really nice. As Mortgage Mom Radio, this is all about educating people, talking about different subjects and topics every single week on the show, and trying to get those, you know, everybody listening to know that they can buy a house, whether they need down payment assistance or, you know, maybe let's look at your finances today. Let's make a roadmap. Let's do some credit repair. Let's do some things. They can do that. But I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. I'm feeling really good about this. All about the education, and then obviously just taking some time and spending some time with the family. That quality time is really important. And you can only be so good at so many things. If you start trying to wear too many hats, you can't be the best at what you do.
Yeah. And one of the things that Lindsay mentioned we're doing is kind of branching out, just to take opportunities that come across our desks to go out and share with the community what we're doing and what it's all about. It's kind of like going back to the headline thing. If you took the headline, I want to buy a house, right? People say, well, you just do it. You just go and you buy a house. But people like you and people like us are like saying, listen, there's a lot more to it. Like, yeah, you can just stumble into an open house and buy it, but it might not be the right house. You might not be doing it the right way, or you might not have your finances organized correctly before you buy the property. Because buying a house can be great. It can be a wonderful blessing. But if you do it wrong, it can be a curse.
Oh, absolutely. It can just absolutely destroy you. I mean, it can throw you into the ground if you're not looking at, you know, getting into an affordability, you know, trying to bite off more than you can chew, or not budgeting correctly. You know, there's all of, we do home buyer workshops all of the time where we're talking about the positives of homeownership, but also the negatives. You know, you have to make sure that you're budgeting for those taxes and your insurance, and, you know, you don't have a landlord that's going to fix the dryer when it stops working, or the refrigerator, or a pipe breaks. You've got to make sure that you're budgeting and putting money away for those things, and that can absolutely sink you. And if you buy something that is bigger than what you can truly afford monthly, you're also going to find yourself, all of a sudden, your credit card debt's going up, and it just turns into an absolute whirlwind of issues. So, you know, that is so true. I mean, you couldn't have said that better.
Yeah, well, bravo to you for doing those workshops, because it's so important.
Well, you know, we might have to have you guys like on or out the, you know, next time that we do one. I think it would be pretty amazing. You guys, just, you're right up my alley. You're saying everything that I wish that I could get across to people all of the time.
Well, you sent us a script and we're just reading.
I love that. That's so funny. All right. So let's get back to Wisconsin really quick. I just want to ask you a couple questions, because my kids think I'm crazy. I'm from Illinois. And when we go on vacation.
So you're a terrible driver.
Yeah, probably. I'll own that one. Yeah. They tell me that I'm a granny driver and that, you know, I drive like I'm, you know, 70 years old and I leave
That's
a lot of space.
Right. Lindsay tells me the same thing. Uh-huh. That I'm a granny driver.
Right.
I am.
Right. And I actually sit in the front seat of my car when my husband drives and I'm like squeezing butt cheeks the entire time because he's too close to the next car and he's weaving in and out of traffic. And I just literally want to lose it sometimes. But
I've actually heard that's an effective workout.
Yeah, it is. It's getting buns of steel. They're going. They're getting there. But my kids actually, so they'll say, "Mom, where are we going on vacation?" And I'll say, "We're going to the Dells."
Yeah.
And it is one of my absolute favorite. We did a road trip from California to Illinois to go visit my dad. And we stopped all along the way. But one of the places that we stopped and we spent 3 days was in the Dells. And they're like, "Mom, why are we going to Wisconsin?" And I said, "They have really good cheese." And they're like, "What?" I'm like, "I'm just kidding. We're going to a water park." And they're like, "Why would we go to a water park?" I said, "It's Vegas for kids. And I can drink booze at the park. You know,
there
it's
you
Wisconsin."
Go. Now, I'm going to blow your mind. Are you ready here?
Yeah, I'm ready.
One of the best parts of Wisconsin Dells is, you know, there's the Kalahari in the wilderness, but also the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yep.
Which is like an indoor water park. Did you know there's a Great Wolf Lodge in Anaheim?
I sure do. And we have done it.
We've done it so many times. We basically were regulars.
Exactly. I know that those are like our 2 day getaways when we just need to go. And we might throw Disneyland into one day of that. And, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No,
so
we're
from Wisconsin, so we're very pale and we kind of hide from the sun. So the indoor water park thing is like so our game. But we've been going back to Wisconsin for years. We take the kids back and the Dells is a major place that we love to frequent. And as we've been more busy, especially in the last 4 years and doing the show, we've been, you know, trying to find those vacation spots out here where you can do a day trip. And that's the glorious thing about living in California is everything's really within an hour to 2 hours of a drive. You've got the beach, you've got the mountains. We've got a swimming pool in our backyard, but Wisconsin has all of that bit of nature. And we love to take our kids home to experience that. We grew up kind of more in the farmlands mm-hmm. and, you know, so it's fun to go back and see the different parts of the country and have those roots still kind of intertwined in our kids' lives.
Yeah, it's so amazing because my dad actually still lives back there. So I will fly home and he lives about an hour outside of Chicago. So it is really more, like you said, more farmland. He lives right on a river. So the water is the backyard. And, you know, the kids just get to relax and enjoy and sit on the porch and swing and, you know, things that you can't do here, which feels so good when you're there. But then we'll visit, you know, at Christmas and it's exciting and it's cold and there's snow. And about 48 hours into the trip, we're like all of us are looking at our watches like, when do we go home?
Yeah. We used to do the holiday trip back in December and we'd go there for Christmas. And, you know, one time we were flying out of LAX and trying to get into Madison and spent 11 hours on the plane in LA.
On the tarmac.
Was snowed.
With a 3-month-old and our, you know, two toddlers. And after that, we just thought this is no vacation at all. So. Ugh. We've diverted to not really going in the winter, but we do miss the sledding, those treacherous hills that are just in someone's backyard. I mean, those are some of the most fun sledding hills. We went up to Big Bear just a couple weeks ago and we went to an actual sledding hill and it was so overly populated and we got up there and we waited in line and we're like, here we go down our sled. And, you know, it was so slow and boring.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about the rawness of nature and, you know, just kind of living on the edge as a kid and you make your own hill and you just go all in. So we try to get the same experience here.
I was actually going to say that, you know, right here in California, you can go to Big Bear and you can get your snow just like there. But then you can leave it. You can get in your car and leave. And within an hour and a half or 2 hours, you're back into the, you know, 50, 60 degree weather. Exactly. Now, one thing, if you guys are looking for that, though, I can tell you just being here longer than you guys have been, check out Wrightwood and rent a house that's actually got a really nice big hill and actually make the kids climb it, get exhausted, bring their sled all the way up to the top and then ride it down to the bottom and do it over and over again. And it's way better than the hills that are put together in Big Bear for everybody to buy a ticket and slide down.
So we had like a 30-foot run in the backyard of the house we rented, but I broke the fence like the second or third time I went down. So we had to pull the plug on that one.
But yeah, we agree. We like that, them having to do a little work coming back up the hill.
Yeah, and next time on Desert Flippers, Eric breaks a fence.
And then fixes it.
I love it. Hey, you guys have been so great. Thank you so much. I really hope that I can have you on again. I mean, this has been just really, truly great. And everybody listening, HGTV stars, Desert Flippers, Eric and Lindsay Bennett, thank you again, you guys, really.
It's been so much fun to talk with you.
Thanks, guys.
What a crazy show today. We had so many things. We had the tax grandma. We had the Desert Flippers.
We did. We talked a bit about Zillow. You know, I wanted to ask the Desert Flippers about Zillow, and I forgot to, because I wanted them to get into that as well. And
What'd you want to ask them?
Well, I just wanted them to either, you know, to give me their opinion of Zillow. I mean, you know, how when somebody's out there looking for a property, you know, should they be looking at Zillow as, you know, hey, this is what this home is worth? I just feel like you need more of an expert opinion. And you know, guys, if you have questions about what should you be looking for, what is my home worth, anything real estate or mortgage related, you just need to give me a call. Call me at 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-4U. That is the number 4. But you guys can just text me. Honestly, text is so much better. I can read your questions. I can answer them for you. I can respond by text. You guys can go download my phone app and send me messages, emails. You know, that's the beauty of technology, isn't it?
You have this whole 101 thing on your website. What is that about?
I do. So it's loans 101. So,
loans 101.
You know, when you go to college, your very first year of college, all of your classes are 101, 102, 103, 104, right? And then as you get into your sophomore year, you're in the 200s and then 300s. So I started it with 101. It's like freshman base, you know, bottom of the line, this is how you get started. And it just takes you through what's a VA loan, what's an FHA loan, what's a conventional loan, a jumbo loan, a USDA loan, every kind of loan type you could think of. I have on there just kind of a quick explanation of what they are. And you can find all of that from my website. You guys, there's so many tools on my website that I don't know if you're utilizing, but mortgagemomradio.com, you can listen to the podcast. So if you want to hear what, you know, Denise had to say, Tax Grandma had to say last week, you want to hear about the interviews that we did last week, which were phenomenal interviews as well. You guys want to rehear the interview today with the Desert Flippers, you know, go to the podcast, listen there. But we have all kinds of videos, Loans 101, the workshop we've got coming up on February 2nd. That's up there. You can see that. Contact us, meet the team, see who I work with, see our faces, know what we look like. So mortgagemomradio.com, you can get just about everything that you guys need there. And you can download the phone app. Again, become part of the mom club. We talked about that. Text the word mom to 474747.
You don't have to be a mom to do that, though.
You
right?
don't. Just
okay,
join
good.
The mom club.
Because I'm part of the mom club, and I'm not a mom.
No. So. As a matter of fact, I have more men call me than women, which is...
Really?
Yeah, I like it. I think that their wives say, hey, babe, this is the guy... This is not this
or
guy.
Or maybe they want
this
a
This is a girl you need to call.
Maybe they want a second opinion, too.
Yeah. Right. It could be. Yeah, absolutely. For any reason. We take calls for any reason whatsoever. And that brings me back to the Morgan Wallen, and we've got those tickets to give away. So text the word mom, 474747. You guys can get everything. You can answer, ask us questions and get details on upcoming events. We've got a workshop right around the corner. We've got tickets to give away. We've got Tax Grandma on now every week, and we're going to keep doing these celebrity interviews. So that was a fantastic one with the Desert Flippers and, you know, super exciting. So just, you guys, give us a call. And if there's somebody out there that's listening that wants to be on the show, you do something, you know, that you'd like to talk about, or you feel that you have something that you want to ask, just call us, talk to us, and let's see if we
text the word mom to 474747. You get in the mix here with Mortgage Mom Radio. Explain that video that you made where you were doing the dishes. Like, what was it?
So it was actually really funny. I had come home from work and I put the bag down and I went straight to the sink and I was, you know, doing the dishes really quick. My girlfriend that I work with, Heidi, she's actually my assistant, and she had come home with me, and we decided we were just going to, like, get, you know, I was going to put everything down, get everything put away. I saw a couple dishes to do, and we were just going to sit down and have a glass of wine. line. And as I was sitting there at the sink and I was talking to her about VA loans and how great they are, she pulled out her phone and she said, talk. And there it went. So that's actually how it went. That's how it started. But
and you can see that at mortgagemomradio.com or become our Facebook friend.
That's right. It's on YouTube. You can see it anywhere.
Well, Mortgage Mom Radio is about over for the radio version, but you can always download the podcast and continue the fun for your speakers. Download the podcast. Text the word mom to 474747 to do that.
We probably need to work on an uncensored Mortgage Mom Radio podcast.
Oh, there's stuff up there that we can't do here. Yeah, for sure. Like, we talked to your sister in detail. Like, exactly. Wait till you hear that. Like,
yeah.
And we posted a screenshot of your sisterly advice that your sister gave us.
Right. What I need to talk about on Mortgage Mom Radio, it's quite hilarious.
Yeah, you can't really say any of the words that she said on there.
Exactly, exactly. But we've got a podcast on there and you guys can listen to the uncensored version. It's actually quite funny. So Mortgage Mom Radio, it's been great this week. We love having you guys around and we'll talk to you next week.